It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, starting from verse 1.
And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city.
Here we see Jesus Christ, he says, he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. He came to his own city. And the name is not given. So let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1. The city's name is Capernaum.
And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house.
Now, here he says he went to Capernaum, and he entered that city. But if you read Matthew chapter 4, verse 13, he was staying in that place for a while. And some people say maybe he had a headquarter there. They will go everywhere and come back to that city, and they will be doing their mission work from there. Even though he says his own city, that doesn't mean he was in charge of the city, but he used to go there very often. Please read.
And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtalim.
He dwelt in Capernaum, that means he stayed there. And that's why they say he came to his own city. So that means it was a familiar place. Jesus Christ used to come there very often. So let's go back to the Matthew chapter 9, verse 2.
And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Now, when you're reading this in a book of Mark, chapter 2, Mark explains a little bit in detail. Mark said there was no room, people were crowding, so somebody went the top of the roof, opened the roof, there were four people carrying him, and then they dropped where Jesus Christ was. If you want to read that, you can read it in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, but we don't have time. So here Matthew just said they brought the paralyzed man. Jesus Christ says, thy sins are forgiven thee. And so Matthew says in a short form. But here when Jesus Christ said something like this, there was a man sitting there, and he is a scribe. Scribe means very scholar. In the Bible, they used to write all these Bible scriptures and things like that. So they are very knowledgeable in the Word of God. So this man sitting there, and he's finding fault. Let's read the verse 3.
And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?
When Jesus Christ says, your sins are forgiven, he start thinking in his heart, that is blasphemy. How can Jesus forgive somebody's sin? He thought Jesus is a man. Man has no power to forgive sins. God only forgives sins. Jesus knew what was he thinking in his heart, and the Word of God says he was thinking evil in his heart. Only God can know our thoughts. Sometimes people can understand. People can say also, before you say something, say, you're going to say something like this. We can also know a little bit thoughts of people, but Jesus Christ knew all the thoughts of everyone. So he said to him, you are thinking something blasphemy in your heart. You are thinking something evil. Now Jesus asked him a question. What should I say? Verse 5.
For whether is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say arise and walk?
Now when Jesus Christ asked this question, the man didn't have answer. He just kept quiet. It is very easy to say somebody, I forgive you. But it's not easy that if man is having paralyzed disease and sleeping in that bed for years and tell that person, pick up your bed and walk, which is easy. Easiest just to say, your sins are forgiven. Even though you have no power, people can say anything. It's easy. But to make that person heal is difficult. So they didn't say anything. They just kept quiet. Verse 6.
But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house.
Now here Jesus Christ is saying, you should know that God has given power to Son of Man. When you say Son of Man, means mankind also. So he said, God has given us power to forgive. Somebody says, we are not God. Yes, we are not God, but somebody kicks you and you look back, you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Anger calms down. But here the word of God is saying, God has given us power or grace to forgive people. If you don't forgive them, their sins retains. That's what he says in John's Gospel chapter 20. So here Jesus Christ says, you should know that you should forgiving people. Then he says to this man, rise and take up your bed and go to thine own house. Now somebody will say, why did Jesus say it to him? Rise, pick up your bed, go to your own house. The reason why Jesus Christ said to him, he wants this man to go to his own house and be a living testimony. The word of God said the testimony or the witness should start from your own home. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. When person gets saved, that person should have good witness in his own house. Otherwise, if Jesus Christ would have said to him, you know what, you got healed, go to another city and advertise about me, he would surely will go. But he said, go to your own house. And the word of God says, verse 7, he obeyed Christ and he went to his own house.
And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men.
Now still these people are thinking, Jesus Christ is ordinary man. But when this man got healed, they start glorifying God and start saying, God has given such a power unto mankind or man. That means if Jesus did it, anyone can do it. That's what they were thinking. But Jesus Christ really did give power to mankind. If you read St. John chapter 14 verse 12, he says, whatever the miracle I did, you will do also, and you will do greater miracles than me. So God has given power to mankind to heal the sick, raise the dead, and do signs and wonders and miracles. But it will not happen if you just use your name, or some other God's name, will not happen. Only happens in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name has power because the name of Jesus is above all names. And when you use the name of Jesus, people get healed and glory goes to God. If somebody start taking glory to themselves, the miracle will not happen. Matthew chapter 9 verse 9.
And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him.
Matthew, I think this is the man who wrote this book. Now this man was a tax collector. Jesus Christ is walking, and there's a tax collector sitting and collecting tax. And he just says, hey, follow me. And he followed. Now, do you know how important job is this? When you're working for the government, you have the important papers, you have all the records with you, and you just dump everything and walk away. What would happen? Ordinarily, people don't do these things. But I believe this Matthew heard about Jesus many, many times. And he might be thinking, if Jesus calls me, I will give everything and follow him. If Jesus calls me, I will give up everything. That's what I was thinking. I said, if Jesus calls me, I'll give up everything and follow Christ. So this man might be thinking, we don't know. Another way, you look at him, just look the book of Luke. Book of Luke, If you read Book of Luke chapter 5 verse 27, his name is called also Levi.
And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me.
Levites were people who can work in the tabernacle. They were children of Aaron. They were called Levites. Though I don't know his name was Levites or he came from that family. So if somebody coming from the Christian family and his father was a pastor, his grandfather was a pastor, his great-grandfather was a pastor, and he became a tax collector. So somebody says, you know, he should have chosen the pastor job. Why are you doing the tax collector job? But when he got a chance, he left everything and followed Christ. And see what happens. Go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 10.
And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples.
Matthew is not giving the whole story, but if you read it in Luke, we will know. Matthew is the one who was the tax collector. He's the one who invited Jesus Christ into his own house. And he gave the party. He's saying, I'm giving up my job. Jesus Christ called me. I'm so happy. Come and have a party with me. And that's what happened. And so Matthew kept the party. And Matthew was a tax collector. So what he did, he invited all the tax collectors. Come in my house. Jesus Christ is coming to my house. So all the tax collectors, they were called publicans. They are sinners, bad people. And so the tax collector came and the sinners came. And so all the people who are tax collectors and sinners came. And so there were other people came there and they started arguing with Jesus' disciples. Verse 11, Matthew 9:11.
And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?
Now these Pharisees, they had no courage to talk to Jesus Christ directly. Then say, hey, why do you eat with the publicans and sinners? But they just talk to disciples. They might have just whispered. A few minutes ago, we saw this man was just thinking, why Jesus Christ is forgiving sins? That's a blasphemy. Jesus Christ came to know and he said, why are you thinking evil in your heart? So now see, the disciples did not give an answer, verse 12.
But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick.
Jesus Christ was giving an example. He says, if somebody's really sick, then he needs doctor's attention. Means that person has to go to hospital. So what he is trying to say, if you are a sinner, then you need a savior. And just like a sick person needs the doctor, and so the sinners need the Savior. That's what he was trying to say. But some people took this and say, you know what Jesus says? If you're sick, go to the doctor. That's what not Jesus Christ said. Many people came to him to get healed. He never sent one person to the doctor. There is no record. Only one record is there. When these 10 lepers came and they said, we want to be healed. Jesus just said, go to the priest and show them. He did not say the priest will make you healed. He just said, you go. And while they were going, 10 of them got healed. And one man came running back. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus Christ says, where are those 9? They were not healed. But they went away. But one man came to testify. So the point I'm making, Jesus Christ was not saying here that when you are sick, you go to the doctor. He is saying, just like sick person goes to doctor, the same way sinners needs the Savior. He will explain to you a little bit. Let's go a little bit further. Verse 13. Matthew 9:30.
But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Jesus made very clear here. He says, go and learn. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And so he's trying to say, you don't know what God wants. God wants your heart. Your heart is corrupt. You people are sinners. But you people are thinking we are righteous. But if you are righteous, then I didn't come for you. I came for sinners. Now people are taking this, and many people will tell you, especially Christian people, they will tell you, Jesus Christ was the friend of publicans and sinners. He says here, he goes to their parties, he sits with them, he eats with them. So the people start thinking, Jesus just goes and sits with them and eats with them and doesn't say anything about their sin. But each time, Jesus Christ said to those sinners, when one lady came and started washing his feet with her hair, and Jesus Christ said, your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more. The prostitute came and he said, your sins are forgiven, sin no more. So the Jesus Christ was not the friend of the sinners, that means keep on committing sin. Here he's saying clearly, but sinners to repentance. So I'm not calling sinners. Sinners, come and have a party with me and be like whatever you want to do. No, he says, I'm calling sinners so they can come to me and they can repent and they can live a clean and holy life. That's my business. And so if you're righteous and if you're thinking you're going to go to heaven without me, I did not come to you. If there is any sinner and he needs me, I will take care of it. When Adam didn't commit sin, no sickness, disease was there. When he committed sin, all the thorns and thistles came. Even the thorns and thistles, people think it's not bad. But any thorns and thistles prick to your body, and some of them are poisonous. And you can get sick and you can die. I have seen the people just pricked some bushes. And even though they went to hospital, they still died. And so thorns and thistles are bad. So Jesus Christ was trying to say, this man came to me and I forgave his sins. That's why he got healed. So sickness and disease comes from enemy. St. John chapter 10, verse 10, what he says? He says, thief. Thief is the enemy. Enemy is the devil. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. You don't have mercy. And you are arguing with me. He said, you should learn these things, what God wants. Go to the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 6.
For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings.
Go and learn what the word of God is saying. We are not here to condemn people or kill people or destroy people. We want to bring them to Christ. But the key is this. If the person does not admit he's a sinner, you cannot do anything for him and God will not do anything for him. The person has to admit that he's a sinner. He has a problem. And then God can forgive the sins. If the sins are not forgiven, the sickness and disease is not going to be healed. So take the opportunity and try to tell everyone what God wants. Okay, let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 14.
Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved.
Somebody will say, this man simply asked question to Jesus Christ. We are John's disciples. And we fast and pray. And Pharisees, they fast and pray. Why your disciples, they don't pray and fast? Simple question. Jesus Christ gave them a complicated answer. He wanted to tell these people in plain English or plain language, your fasting is not helping you. Because when he gave the example, from that you know. He says, if there is a torn cloth, an old cloth, and if there is a hole, and you find a brand new cloth and put it on that, he says, what's going to happen? That cloth will make a more hole, because this is stronger, other weaker, so it's pulled out. And your intention is good to seal the hole, but what you're doing, making a bigger hole. Then he gives another example. He says, if a new wine, put it in the new wine container, it will not burst. But you take a new wine and put it in the old container, it will burst. So what he's trying to say? He says, you try to do something good, but you are not able to do good, but you are doing worse. That's what he was trying to give them example. And in book of Isaiah, chapter 58, book of Isaiah, chapter 58, and if you read from verse 3 to 9, it says there what kind of fast you're doing.
Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high.
Okay, you can read up to 9, but here he's saying your fasting is useless. God is not listening to your fast. Even Jesus Christ said, if you're fasting and you make your face gloomy and not washing your face and telling everybody I'm fasting and fasting, he said that kind of fast God doesn't need. If you're fasting, wash your face, don't tell anybody, and let this God secretly give you the blessings. But here this John's disciple comes and says, we are fasting. Pharisees are fasting. Why your disciples are not fasting? So Jesus gave him 3 examples. First he says, if there is a bridegroom and the bridegroom's friend going after him, there's a marriage is going, so they go house to house. I don't know here what they do, but India, the bridegroom will be going to house to visit them, and each and every house they will have some kind of feast for him. And so they give feast, and all these young people following him, he might take a one bite, and then all other people will eat the food and then go to another house, and they do like that. So Jesus Christ is saying, if the bridegroom is with them, and his followers, the children with the bridegroom, they don't fast. Everywhere they go, they get food. So they don't fast. Only they will fast when the bridegroom is taken away. Now, these people didn't know what he was trying to say. This is the first time Jesus Christ is saying, comparing himself as a bridegroom and comparing to his disciples as a bride. He says, when the bridegroom is taken it out, then only if the bride is left behind, they might fast. And that's what's happened right now. Our bridegroom is gone, and now we are frustrated, and we are praying that bridegroom should come. John the Baptist had some idea that who he is. Many people do not know who the bride is and who the bridegroom is and who the friends are. And so many people thinking, if I'm a friend of God, it's good for me. But Jesus Christ said to his disciple, you're my friend. That's why I'm telling you everything. But the time will come that you will be more than a friend. That means, first of all, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. Once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are the bride of Christ. Because Holy Spirit makes you a bride. And so here, John the Baptist is saying who he is. St. John chapter 3, verse 29.
He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled.
Now John the Baptist is saying, here is a bride, here is a bridegroom, here is a bride. I'm listening to their voice and my joy is fulfilled. And so Jesus Christ said, John the Baptist is the greatest among all, whoever born through the woman or by the woman. And so the John the Baptist is called the Old Testament prophet. So if he is the greatest than all the Old Testament prophet and he says, I am the friend, then automatically all Old Testament people becomes friend. Many people don't know this because they are thinking, oh, all the Old Testament and all the New Testament, we are all one by the blood of Jesus Christ. Once they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, filled with the Holy Spirit, they are bride of Christ. Doesn't matter they are Jewish or Hindu or Muslim or whoever it is. But the Old Testament people, before Jesus Christ shed his blood, they are sanctified by the blood of bulls and goats. We are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are much more precious because Jesus Christ said, if the John the Baptist is greater than all, but who is the least in the kingdom of God, he is greater than the John the Baptist. So the John the Baptist is a friend, we are the bride. And see what the Saint Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. So he says, we are the bride.
For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
So he says, there is a husband, that's Jesus Christ the bridegroom. And you are going to marry with Christ spiritually. And we are preparing for that. That's what the Word of God is saying. We have the greater job as the ministers, preparing ourselves as well as preparing the bride of Christ, because we are going to go and meet Jesus Christ. So the point Jesus Christ is saying here, if the bridegroom is taken away, then people will sit there and fast. But right now, they don't have to fast. And your fast is not doing anything good, is doing worse, or putting the wine in the old container and busting the bottle. So it's not good. You're trying to do good, but you're doing worse. Chapter 9, verse 18.
While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.